still there. Matthew 13. These verses, one verse in particular, came clearly to my mind after Sunday, after we saw yet another blessed story and picture of our Lord, which is hidden to most people. Few people see and hear the things that you see and hear from God's Word. That's a fact. And this came to my mind, and I was so, and Mindy and I were talking about it, how blessed we are to hear these things and to see these things from God's Word, see Christ in Scripture. He had just been speaking in parables to the great multitudes gathered together and followed him, and he sat in a boat, and he preached the parable of the sower, which is the Word. And you know what that parable means, don't you? How many do? You know. And the disciples asked him in verse 10, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And he answered and said, "Because it is given unto you to know the mystery." I'm hiding these things from them. To them it's not given. What a gift. What a precious gift. And he says, "Whosoever hath, to him shall be given." We have an understanding. We know in part. But he's going to keep giving us more and more knowledge of him. Those who want to grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ, he's going to keep giving more grace and the knowledge of him. And he says, "Those who have not will be taken away even that they have. And therefore I speak unto them," verse 13, "in parables, because seeing they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." And he quotes Isaiah 6, "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. But this people's heart is waxed gross." And we're going to see what it is that makes their heart fat, that is. Nothing can penetrate. "And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." They've closed their eyes. "Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them." But blessed, he's speaking to his disciples, he's speaking to us. Blessed are your eyes, they see, and your ears, they hear. We're so blessed, aren't we? 2 points. Our natural blindness and this wonderful blessedness that God has given to us. Go to Isaiah 6 that he quoted, Isaiah chapter 6. And you know Isaiah 1, where the Lord speaks about natural man, even Israel, these religious people. He says the whole head is sick. Whole heart is faint, sinful nation, laden with iniquity, evildoers. He said, the whole head is sick, whole heart is faint, from the sole of the feet to the top of the head. No soundness in it, no sound judgment, no nothing but sin. And like Genesis 6 says, thoughts are evil, only evil, continually. This is mankind. And he says in Isaiah 6, Isaiah saw the Lord. How did he see the Lord? What did he hear? Holy, holy, holy. And seeing the Lord, he said, "I'm cut off, I'm going to die." Like Manoah. No, you're not. And he said, "You go tell the people," verse 9. "You go tell the people, hear ye indeed." You hear, but you understand not. "See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ear, and understand with their heart and convert and might be healed." Then said I, "Lord, how long? How long is this going to go on, this deafness, this blindness of mankind? He said, "Until the cities be wasted." It's going to always be that way. Verse 12, "And the Lord had removed men far away." There would be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it, though, in it,
shall return and a tent, a remnant, like a teal tree, like an oak. Remember that? The substance is in them. The holy seed is the substance thereof. You are that remnant. You are that remnant. What is it that blinds man by nature? What is it that blinds us? Well, number one, it's our own sinful self. We come forth from the womb speaking lies. We come forth from the womb. We're in sin did our mother conceive us. We come forth from the womb loving sin, loving ourselves. And we do not want a God over us. We do not want to be ruled. We don't want parents to rule us. So we are blinded by our own sinful selves. And then God blinds us. Remember, Pharaoh says, harden his heart. And then the next time it said, God hardened his heart. How does God harden people's heart? Well, man's heart is hard by nature. Okay? Nothing can penetrate unless God breaks that heart. His heart is hard by nature. Our Lord said one time, you will not come unto me. And then he stood up one time, come unto me. And they were all around him. He said, you will not come unto me. And another time he said, leave him alone. God hardens people by heart, hardens them by leaving them alone. He said, you keep hearing, you keep hearing, you keep hearing, and you won't, until finally you don't hear a thing. I grew up, I used to go to my grandparents' home in Tecumseh, Georgia, a little two-bit town. There was no stoplight. I lived right beside a general store where the old men sat and played checkers on the nail keg. Really, you know, you've seen them. Some of you were born that, raised that way. Well, my grandparents had a little country house, a few acres, and a couple of cows. Across the street was a train track. There's only about 50, well, maybe 60, 70 feet from their house. And we'd go to visit them. All four of us kids, well, the three boys, would sleep in their feather bed. They had a feather, and we all, you know, sink in the middle. Well, I remember the first time we went there, that train came by, and we all woke up. We thought it was going to run right over that house. Well, the next time, woke up again. The next night, till finally, didn't even know the train passed through. And that's man. And all these prophets, and all the apostles, and all the pastors and teachers keep warning, like Noah's hammer on for 100 years, until finally nobody paid any attention to it all. They had shut their ears and blinded their eyes. And God said, okay, leave them alone. Blessed are your eyes. They hear. And you keep hearing the same thing, and unbelievably, you say, say it again. Tell it again. I want to see that again. I didn't see enough of it the first time. God blinds man. That's how the God of this world, Satan, has blinded men's minds. And God allows him to do that. The only way he can do it, hold men captive, is God puts them in his hand. False religion, you know, blinds men to the truth. False religion doesn't enlighten people. It darkens. If the light is in you, Scripture says, be darkness. How great is that darkness? And most of the people in religion have a totally false conception of God. Mm-hmm. No. And they have a refuge of lies. Mm-hmm. And our Lord said in Matthew 7, multitudes will stand before him in judgment and talk about what wonderful things they did for Jesus. And hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You're going to be shocked. And then the world blinds men's mind. No, flesh, material things. Man lives by sight. Our Lord said that he didn't judge by the sight of the eyes or the hearing of the ear, did he? He looks on the heart. Our Lord sees things as they are, and so should we. Things that are seen are what? Temporal. Things are unseen are eternal. We walk by faith, not by sight. We shouldn't judge things by sight or the hearing of the ear. Because the world says, look, this is good. And you know what God says? That's evil. The world says, Satan says, this is sweet. God says, no, it's sour. This is bad. The world said, there is no sin. God said, there's nothing but sin in the world. The world says, God loves you. That's a wonderful plan for your life. God says, Scripture says, God's angry with the wicked. The world says, look here, look there. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. That blinds our eyes and shuts our ears. Oh, my. Romans 1, I was going to turn there. You know, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness. The Lord said, how long shall I smite you? And you're not turned to. He keeps sending these things. And men don't see it as the hand of God. Like Egypt, they did not see the plagues as coming from God. They just thought it's just a 100-year plague or something. When God sent it because of sin. And men weren't repenting and calling on the Lord. I tell you who it was. There was a remnant. There were some people sitting in little houses with blood on the doorpost. They believed it was the hand of God. Romans 1 says, the eternal power and Godhead of God is clearly seen by the things that are made. I mean, they don't see it at all. And that Isaiah 55 says, when he opens our blind eyes and our deaf ears, he says, you go out and the trees start clapping their hands. You see God in everything. You see his hand in everything. You see Christ in everything. Why? And blessed are your eyes, they see. Now I want to just talk about our blessedness, okay? And we're going to turn to several scriptures. I had to whittle down from 1,000 scriptures to about a dozen. You know where you can turn and see the blessings of God? Okay? Our blessedness. Our Lord, He opens blind eyes in Isaiah 43. Oh, don't you love Isaiah 43? Isaiah 44, Isaiah 45. Don't you love it? You know how few people do, brother? Oh, my. Isaiah 43 says in verse 8, bring forth the blind people that have eyes, the deaf that have ears. He's going to open blind eyes. In chapter 29, he says, the blind are going to see out of obscurity. He says, the deaf are going to hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind be open. That's us. We look at Isaiah 43, verse 10. You're my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord. Beside me there's no Savior. I have declared. You've heard me. I've declared who I am, what you are, who Christ is, and have saved. I have showed. You've heard it and you've seen it. Blessed are your eyes and your ears. Who he is. We've heard his voice. We've seen something of his glory. Our Lord God has opened our blind eyes and our deaf ears, broken our proud hearts, revealed himself to us, revealed ourselves to us, unveiled the truth to us, exposed the world to us. Huh? Puts the love of Christ in us. You know, the Lord healed many blind people when he was here, didn't he? There are many in the scripture. Deaf people, like Mark 7. Didn't you love that story? How did he do it? How did he heal the blind and deaf? Same way every time. He spoke to them. He spoke to them with his word. He said his word healed them. It's the word that opens blind eyes. It's the word that opens deaf ears. Nothing else will. You and I can talk to people all we want to. We can show them scriptures all we want to. But until God, the Holy Spirit, sends the word in power. And our Lord, several times, would take something from his mouth Remember? He took spittle from his mouth. That's the word of God. Word of Christ. And then take clay or dirt and make clay. That's the preaching of the gospel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power might be of God. This is how God, Christ, opens blind eyes every time through the preaching of the truth, the gospel, the word of God through an earthen vessel. And he took that clay and he put it in his eyes. Now, how can you make a blind man see by putting mud in his eyes? Well, what's that going to do? First thing, it's going to really blind him. Really blind him. The first thing the Lord's got to do to us is shut our eyes to everything we see. Completely blind us. He said, if you were blind, you'd have no sin. Remember that? Bartimaeus knew he was blind. How many blind men were in Israel? One man was crying. Remember, there were 10 blind men one time. 10! And one of them turned back and gave him glory. And the Lord said, where are the 9? I healed them too. They didn't. When blind Bartimaeus started calling and calling and calling, they said, quit calling. He called even louder. And the Lord called him. What do you want? What I do unto you? He said, I want to see. See. So the Lord took this clay and anointed the eyes. Another time, the deaf man, Mark 7, he put his finger in his mouth, remember? And then he put it in his ears. How are you going to make a man hear by putting his finger in his ears? He's going to have to shut our ears to everything and everyone but him. Because the next time when he took his fingers out of his ears, he heard Christ speak. And he took and touched his tongue, loosed his tongue. He spake plainly. What did he speak? Just like our Lord. He spoke the language of salvation. I know what he said. We know what he said. Salvation's of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. So Christ is the Word. Christ is the light. You can't see anything without light. And he lights every man. If anyone has any light, true light, it's going to be Christ. And light of Christ. So Christ is the light we see, and thy light we see light. Christ said, my sheep hear my voice, every one of them, and they follow me. They follow who? They follow him. Oh, how blessed we are. And you know, once you hear him, you know what I'm going to quote, don't you? Oh, Ephraim. I quote this all the time in Hosea 14. Once you hear Christ, once you hear the gospel, once you hear the truth, once you see him, you don't want to hear anything or anyone else. And Ephraim said, what have I to do anymore with idols? I've heard him. And people come here and they leave. And I think, they didn't hear it. They didn't hear his voice. How could you leave? This. Christ. Now, I want us to look at some of these blessings in God's word, okay? Real quickly. And material blessings are the least. They are blessing. I mean, we don't ever want to, everything we have from our Lord in some ways is a blessing. Okay? And we think of, Brother Kelly and I often think that one of the greatest blessings in this life is hot water. Hot, running water. Isn't it? I just stand in the shower just... Especially in wintertime. Thousands of years they didn't have that. Things like that are a great blessing, aren't they? Many things. But these are the least blessing. The blessings I want us to consider. How it was blessed and turn to Revelation 1. Revelation 1. Now how we're blessed to read God's word, to hear it. We're blessed to fear. We're blessed to trust. We're blessed to believe. We're blessed to repent. We're blessed to hunger and thirst. We're blessed to mourn. We're blessed to be vexed. We're blessed to be gathered. We're blessed to dwell in God's house. We're blessed to call. We're blessed to repent. We're blessed to be tried. We're blessed to be chastened. Blessed, 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 blessed. name something. Spiritual blessing. All spiritual blessing. All right, Revelation 1. Don't you love this? Our Lord said in Revelation 1, verse 3, He said, "Blessed is he that readeth." Look at verse 1. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass." What is this book about? You know, don't you? The very first line says it. Doesn't it? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. God didn't, you know, the whole Bible is of Christ, speaks of Christ. He didn't change the subject in the last chapter. It's the culmination of all. It's the epilogue of it all. It begins that way. And even the translators got it wrong. The revelation of St. John the Divine. No, it's not. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. To us, the saints. So, oh, how blessed we are if we know that this book is not all about the apocalypse. It's all about the gospel. It's all about Christ. From beginning to end. How blessed. But verse 3. "Blessed is he that readeth." Were you blessed in reading Isaiah 55 now? Are you blessed, Matthew 13? Do you read the scripture? I know you do. You mourn over the fact you don't read them more, don't you? You mourn over the fact that you don't get more out of them. You mourn, but you do hunger and thirst for them. You do want to read them, don't you? How blessed you are. Was there a time when you didn't give any thought to God's Word? Was there a time when you wouldn't read the last thing you'd read? When you'd just be immersed in the foolishness? Oh, blessed is he that readeth. And they that hear the words of the prophecy. Like old eunuch said to Philip, "How can I except some man show me?" Are you blessed to hear what you hear? And keep those. How blessed to keep. That means lay hold of. And not want to let go. And not want to lose. Not want to trade. Not want to sell it for anything. You can take anything. But don't take the truth from it. Don't take the gospel from it. Don't take Christ from it. Do you feel that way? So blessed. Oh, blessed be the Lord who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Ephesians 1 it said. Look at 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. So we're blessed to hear the word, to have the word, to believe the gospel. 1 Peter Chapter 1. Blessed new birth. We're blessed to be born again. I know people say that. A lot of people claim it. But here, you know how it comes. You know what happened to you. You know that it's not something that you did. You know it wasn't something that, you know, you accepted Jesus, that, you know, you heard so many verses, "Just as I am," and you just felt compelled. No. You heard the word truth. You heard the gospel that opened your ear. The gospel that touched your heart. The gospel that opened your eye to yourself, who God is. See Christ, didn't you? You're born again. James said, of his own will. You know how many people think man has a free will? They're all lost. Everybody thinks that's lost. Huh? Every one of God's people know this. Blessed knowledge. You know, it's not of him that willeth. How plain can Scripture be, sister? Not of him that willeth. Of his own will, James said, begat he us with the word of truth. And we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. See, all of his people know he begat us by the gospel. And it says in verse 3, 1 Peter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us." Look at verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever." Verse 25. "The word of the Lord endureth forever." This is the word that we're born again by the gospel that's preached unto you. Oh, how blessed we are. And God's people are born of God. The love of God has been shed abroad in their heart. Love for the truth. Some people don't receive a love for the truth. But God's people all do. They love the truth. The truth. All right. Blessed hunger and thirst. Where is that? Matthew 5. Come on. Matthew 5. This is where, you know, Malachi ends with a curse. The last verse ends with the last word is curse. But our Lord came. He is the blessing of God, isn't he? And his Sermon on the Mount, he opened his blessed mouth. And he said in Matthew 5, verse 3, Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. You know what that means, don't you? You feel poor. You feel like you don't know anything, can't do anything, don't have any goodness, no righteousness, no nothing, don't have any faith. You feel like you don't have any faith. Okay. Oh, theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn. They shall be comforted. Mourn over sin. Blessed are the meek. No, the world says the proud are blessed. No, God says the meek. They're going to inherit a new earth. Nobody proud is going to be in his heaven. Nobody proud is going to be in his new earth. Not one. You got a lake of fire reserved for the proud. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. What is righteousness? That's right. Sister went, Christ. Christ is our righteousness. You know how few people know that? You know how few people care? That's why Isaiah said, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified. You know what that means, don't you? Oh, hunger and thirst. Kelly read that the song, I thirst after thee in a dry and thirsty land. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Cry. Hunger and thirst for Christ. A lot of people want to go to heaven. God's people, Christ is going to be heaven. Because he's their husband. Blessed repentance and faith. 2 Peter chapter 1. Blessed repentance and faith. You know it's the goodness of God that leads us to repent. You know that? We won't repent. We won't repent. Mankind doesn't think he has anything to repent of. And religion's told him that so long. And philosophers told him that so long. And psychiatrists and psychologists told him that so long. Yet man keeps killing himself. Why? Because guilt. Guilt. Because God says there's not going to be any peace to the wicked. None. Not going to have any. But to the man that humbles himself before God and repents and calls it, God have mercy on me, the sinner. Peace. Forgiveness. And that's another point. Blessed forgiveness. But repentance is a gift. We won't repent unless God leads us to do so. And then blessed faith, 2 Peter chapter 1. Oh, verse 1 says, to them that have obtained this light, precious, this most precious and rare gift called faith. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's according to the working of his mighty power. Brothers and sisters, for me to believe this and be so adamantly for it, when at one time I was, it's a miracle. It's a miracle if anybody believes the truth.
Amen.
It's a miracle if anybody say. It's a miracle of God's grace. No matter who it is, it's a miracle of God's grace if somebody believes. I mean really believes. Now people go to church, people get religion, but it's a miracle. Somebody really believes God's word, God's truth. It strikes them fear in their heart and gives them repentance and and they call on the Lord and they hear the gospel as something they need so desperately, and they believe and they trust Christ and they confess Him in believer's baptism, and they walk the rest of their days by faith in Him, looking to Him, waiting on Him. That's a miracle of God's grace. Every child, every son of God is a miracle of grace. In verse 4, 3, it says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things. In verse 4, He's given us great and exceeding great and precious promises. The world doesn't need these promises. We do. Blessed repentance, blessed faith, blessed, go to Psalm 32. Oh, blessed mercy of God, blessed grace of God, blessed long-suffering of God, that's salvation. God's going to put up with us for all our day. That's our salvation. And blessed forgiveness of sins. Who needs that? As we said, the world doesn't repent of sin. They don't have any sin to repent of. God's people do, and it plagues them all their days, and they want to be rid of it. And the thing that gives them the most hope and joy is to hear that their sins are forgiven. Look at Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. It'll never be brought up. It's covered. What's it covered? Under blood. Blessed, verse 2. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. My. Few need mercy. Few need forgiveness. Well, that's the thing we want and need more than anything else, isn't it, brothers and sisters? When you hear the word, I remember the first time the Lord began to work on me, the first time I heard of mercy, I thought, that's the greatest message I ever heard. I just heard that one word, mercy. That's what Bartimaeus, have mercy on me. Go to Psalm 2. Blessed are they, how blessed we are if we trust in the Lord. You know how blessed you are if you trust in the Lord and don't trust in man. Don't trust yourself. No confidence in the flesh. Don't trust in Egypt. Don't trust in our rulers. Don't trust what you hear. Don't trust what you see. You know how blessed you are? As said, the whole world is trusting in Egypt, and they have no peace because of it. And Psalm 2, verse 12 says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and he perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Chapter 3, verse 1. O Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many that rise up against me. Many say there's no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're my shield. My glory, the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill. So I laid down and I slept. I've been reading how there's people addicted to sleeping pills and these melatonin and all this stuff they're addicted to. Well, David said, I cried unto the Lord and I went to sleep. He heard me. Why? Trust the Lord. He said, I wait, the Lord sustain me. I'll not be afraid, verse 6. I'll not be afraid of 10,000 of people who set themselves against me round about. Verse 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessings upon thy people. Look at Psalm 4. Just keep reading the Psalms. Psalm 4, verse 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than when their corn liquor and wine is increased. Verse 8, I'll lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Somebody asked me one time, do you own a gun? I said, no, I don't. I don't have a gun now. He looked at me like it's crazy. Well, I'd like to think it's trust. Psalm 5, because thou, Lord, only, 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 huh? Makest me to dwell safely. Psalm 5, verse 11. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them that also love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. One more on this thing of trust, and there are 1 million more, but one more, Psalm 34. Oh, don't we love this? Oh, don't we love this? Psalm 34, verse 7. You have it? Psalm 34, verse 6, this poor man cried, the Lord heard him, saved him out of all his trouble. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see, the Lord is good. Blessed is the man, the woman that trusteth in the Lord. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There's no want, there's no lack to them that fear him. The last verse. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be destined. Let that cast out. Left to themselves. God has taken, Christ has taken full responsibility, the full care of all of his people that trust in him. And he's never let one single person down, ever. He won't do it. He said, all that thou hast given me, I've kept. I've lost nothing. Never has, never will. Lose one that trusts in him. Blessed fear. You just read that. Across the page, Psalm 33. You know how blessed it is if you fear the Lord? If you fear the Lord, you shouldn't fear anything. You know that? We shouldn't. We do, but we shouldn't. Should we fear the Lord? The fear of man is a snare. The fear of God is salvation. Freedom from the snare, the trap, the pits. Fear the Lord, we shouldn't fear anything or anyone else. Psalm 33, verse 8. And I'm not just preaching, I'm telling you the truth. That's what Scott used to say. I'm not just preaching, I'm telling you the truth. Trust the Lord. Verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. He spake, it was done. He commanded, it stood fast. Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh their devices of none effect. We see that now. Verse 13. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He sees everything. Verse 16. There's no king saved by a multitude of a host, a vast army. Russia, China, America. No, you're not saved by you're not saved by your army. Not going to do it. Not going to save us. Verse 17, a horse is a vain thing for safety, technology, whatever it may be. Neither shall he deliver any by his strength. Read this, verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waited for the Lord. Here it is again. He is our help and our shield. Our hearts shall rejoice in him. We've trusted in his holy name. Blessed fear. Blessed fear. And the world, there's no fear in the world. And now they're in fear where there was no fear, aren't they? Oh, blessed gathering, and I'm not going to have you turn now because I'm out of time. Blessed gathering, Stephen read Psalm 84 last Wednesday. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord. He said, the sparrow hath found a house where she may lay her nest and her young. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. He said in Psalm 27, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Is this not like a little city of refuge? You come in here, the house of God, you hear this message of hope and peace and comfort of your God reigning and ruling, and you're in his hand. Doesn't it just comfort you? Doesn't it just bless you? Doesn't it ease your mind? You'll go home tonight and sleep better. I hope. You heard that. Oh, how blessed we are to be gathered. You know, he gathered in Ephesians 1. It says he gathered together in one all his people in Christ. He's made us sit together in heavenly places. This is a little heavenly place here. Kingsport, Paramount. Oh, he's gathered up. Blessed fellowship. Blessed fellowship. Joy divine. Blessed dwelling in God's house. Why do we gather here? We gather to worship. We gather to give thanks. We gather to hear his word. We gather to wait on the Lord. You know what we're doing? We're waiting. You know how many times it says, blessed is the man that waiteth on the Lord. In Psalm 37, it says, wait. Psalm 27, wait. Again, I say, wait. Like Rahab. Psalm 27 and 37. Rahab was waiting on Joshua, wasn't she? He did not tell her when he was coming. She's waiting. She's waiting. They said, that Rahab, that's all she wants to do is stay in that house. She keeps talking about that scarlet lion. She's talking about Joshua. He ain't coming. Jericho said, he's not coming. And one day, the trumpet sounded. And Paul said, that trump shall sound. Yes, he will. And the dead in Christ shall rise. You're waiting. Waiting. Job said, all my days I wait until my change. Waiting on our Lord, waiting on our change. He said he's going to call, and I'm going to answer. The trump shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, the Lord shall descend with 10,000 of his saints. Mac, Joe, Henry, going to come with him. Won't that be something? It's worth waiting on. And the last thing is this. I want you to turn to Revelation 14. And the world thinks this is utter foolishness. Blessed death. That's the last thing the world wants to talk about. Feared by all. What a blessing. What a blessing to remove that fear of death from us. So much so that we almost welcome it. We do welcome it, and I say that carefully because, you know, we're sinful, we're flesh. But when the time comes, you're going to welcome it. You're going to welcome it. You're going to be glad. You're going to be ready. In Revelation 14, verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write this down. Write it down. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. They're going to rest forever. Blessed death. Do you know how blessed you are if you think death is going to be a blessing? It's not the end, it's just the beginning. You know how blessed you are. I hope you feel blessed to have heard this and read this with me. Stand with me.